Well, how is everyone doing this morning?
Good.
All right. Good, good, good. Seems like we have a lot of sleepy heads this morning, people sleeping in. Good. My daughter's connecting in. And let's see. I have a let me go ahead and share screen. All right, let's just start, huh? I'm going to ask if there's any thing that we can praise the Lord for this morning. So I'll just open this up for us. Lord, I praise you this morning because you are. Let's give you guys a few minutes and then we'll open in prayer. And if anyone has any special prayer requests, we can share that as well. Okay, no praises this morning. It's okay. I know that you do praise the Lord. Maybe you don't want to say it. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. This morning we come before you and we want to, I want to ask you that we are a people that is always praising your great name and recognizing who you are. I pray that you help us sometimes to feel, and I use that word specifically that maybe we don't always feel things, but I pray that you help us to feel the desire to praise you, Lord, that there is a inner desire that overwhelms even any circumstance that we face so that we may praise your holy name. And I ask, Lord, that you may steady us and steer us to be looking at you this morning, helping us to find and see you clearly throughout your word that we study. My great fear, Lord, is that we become too much students of the word and not enough experiencers of your word, that we become very learned of all the different ideas in scripture to the point where we might say, I've heard this before, I've studied this before, and it doesn't resonate with us anymore. There's no impact of your word, because we are not allowing the Spirit to let your word do its necessary work, Lord, that the Spirit would not only help us to understand in a type of mental assent or a type of mental understanding of your word, but it doesn't trickle into the practice of our lives. Lord, I fear for that for our people, and I pray that that would not be the case, but rather anytime the word is unfolded and looked at, Lord, it would bring deep conviction. It would bring a piercing of our soul. Your word would cause us to want to repent and ask for your spirit to do a completion of that word into our lives, Lord. So, Father, we pray that it would not stop in our heads, but that it would work into our lives all the way, Father. Even as we study the Beatitudes, to recognize once again that these are not a list of commands for us to strive to obtain the great salvation, but Lord, these are the results of the Spirit at work in us. Lord, these are the results of us being kingdom people, children of God. These are the type of qualities and characteristics that represent people who have the Spirit abiding in them and us abiding in you. So Lord, thank you for our study this morning and all the burdens that we have on our hearts, carrying on our shoulders, we lay them at your feet so that we may be engaged with you fully this morning. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Well, let's see. Okay. So let's, just keep on going. It's a little quiet out there today. Didn't hear anybody share their praises. Didn't hear much feedback. So, we're just gonna read the word. How about that? And, if there is, someone who so desires to just, read the word of God, give you an opportunity to, I'm just going to read these verses again. Get familiar with all of the list of Beatitudes in context here. Okay. Verse 1, seeing the crowds, he went up to the mountain. And when he sat down, this is Jesus, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Today, we are on the heels of last week where our brother Frank led us in verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart." I highlighted that above. And today, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God," or children of God. This concept is pretty rich. Blessed are the peacemakers. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes preparing Sunday school is not easy sometimes, right? It really can get baffling. It can get, I work a lot on how to teach the class. I spend a lot of time knowing when to present what information, when to reveal what in my thought process as I lead the class through this. So sometimes it's really hard. This one, even yesterday I was saying to Bex, man, I'm just not sure how to teach on this. There's a lot of different thoughts. And it's a big concept, the concept of peace in scripture. And it can go in a variety of directions. There's many good ways to teach it. So how do I do that? And so, it was one of those where I was like, oh man. And I finally told Bex yesterday, I said, this is really not as difficult as it may seem. But there's so much to go through it because, and so let's ask God to help us with that, right? That was my prayer. This word peace is used over 400 times in the Bible, from the Old Testament to the New. We're going to look at the different Hebrew word and the Greek word for that. But this concept, needless to say, is just in abundance. This concept, the Bible actually opens with the idea of peace and God's creation. Okay, so there's this idea where in the garden there is peace before sin came to interrupt peace. Okay, so sin interrupted peace. There was peace in the garden, right? And then the Bible ends with the concept of peace. All right, so we have peace in the new creation. I prayed that yesterday or a couple of days ago at our New Year's prayer meeting. A sister had texted me a text. I've been thinking a lot about this whole thing as well. In terms of hope, our hope is not in 2021. I feel sad for any believer whose hope is just that, oh, you know, if you're writing, hey, or you're posting on social media, hey, you know, let's close out 2020, man, done with that year. 2021 is just going to be a better year. Well, is that your hope? I think our hope is in something so much greater. And we got to kind of dial into what is biblical hope. Biblical hope is that Jesus's victory is complete. And we will see judgment come upon all wickedness of the earth. And our hope is that there is a new heaven and new earth and our new eternal bodies to live forever gloriously with God in the new creation. That's hope. All right, brothers and sisters. That's also where we find full and unadulterated, sin-stained peace. All right, that's where we're going to get peace. Full peace, full throttle peace coming after Jesus comes again for the second time. All right, so the Bible opens with peace. We're coming back to peace. There is a already not yet peace that we experience today. It's a not completely full experience of that peace just yet, right? But believers get to experience that peace. So this idea of peace is all throughout the scripture. God himself, right? He calls himself the God of peace, the Lord of peace. Jesus is called, okay, before I show this, and if you're not looking at the screen, what does Jesus call himself? Jesus is called in Isaiah, right? For unto us a child is born, blah, blah, blah. He is to be the what of peace? The
Prince of Peace.
Prince what? Of Peace.
Yeah. Yes. Say it again. I can't hear you.
Prince of Peace.
Yes, that's right. The Prince of Peace. Right. So Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And he quotes Isaiah himself, right? And then identifies himself of that. Very kingdom language there again. Okay, I'm always going to direct you to these type of pictures of kingdom in the scripture. So this big overarching idea of peace then is very important to God. If God himself calls himself the God of peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. This idea of peace beginning and end and all throughout the middle, even though peace is interrupted by sin, right? God even says, you know, Jesus is here to bring that peace, right? He brings that peace to reconcile us to God. So there's an already experience of believers because of faith, because of God's grace that allows us to experience even a peace that the world cannot comprehend, right? A peace that people without God do not know of. So here we are then. We're going to just spend a few minutes to discuss how would you define peace? Do not, please try not to, if you're tempted to right now, Google this, okay? It's okay if you don't know. It's okay if you've been in Sunday school forever and you're not really familiar with the concept of peace. Let's just work through it in our minds. Okay. That's part of the way I wanted to teach this. All right. And it helps for me a lot of times when I'm trying to define something, I try to think of what the opposite of that is, right? So you think of the negative of what that is, and it helps you kind of define what it is. So how would you define peace? And And I'm going to, I could break you guys up into groups if you want, but I don't know if everyone likes groups. I like groups. I'm looking at only four or five people right now on my screen. Raise your hand if you're comfortable with breaking up into a small group and just trying to define peace for like a few minutes. Yeah, I see some hands raised. Daniel, give us like just 4 minutes, and I'm going to ask you to break people into groups of three and give it a best shot. It's okay. All right. This is not, you know, we're not striving for 100% accuracy. Don't Google it. All right. Don't, you know, please don't Google it. Just work through it in your mind. Even if you're speaking in Christianese, that's okay. Right. Okay. So it's absence of war.
How yeah, no war. Yes.
Okay.
No killing.
Okay. No fighting, no wars. How about anybody else? Give some ideas or go ahead and write it in the chat box or write it in the in this annotation. I'm going to just call out some names. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, you can write things now?
Yeah, on the annotation right here.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So peace is actually a subject I studied a little bit and continue wanting to, because I guess in the Bible there's many words for peace in Greek and Hebrew.
Right. We're going to go through a couple of them. I think
the biggest thing for me is that, you know, like peace is not necessarily a feeling. It's beyond what the world defines it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and when I learned that, I learned like there are moments where it doesn't feel good, but, you know, it pleases God. That's what to me is real peace.
Okay.
And one of the definitions is that it completes God. Is the one of the Greek or Hebrew words. So
that okay, is good. Sure. Completing God or being made complete? Which one do you mean?
That's what the definition had said for one of the Greek and Hebrew words.
Okay. That? Yeah. Completing. Yeah, we could look at that. Sure. Okay.
I wrote in the chat, Pastor Alex, that for people to get along.
Okay. Okay. So, okay. Yep. So for people to get along, what's the opposite of that then?
Anarchy, war, violence.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. Good.
Without a contention, no contention.
Okay. Good. Okay. Like that. Okay. So no contention. Without contention. Okay. All right. So there is a God with us. No conflict. Okay, good. Good. Anybody else? I like someone wrote perfect harmony. Right. So it's like an absence of these disrespect. Okay, so calm, comfort. There is a respect for each other's differences. Good. Calm and comfort. There's no contention, no hurting, and no mean words, no bad words. Yeah, that's good too. All right. So these are good, right? So we're starting to get an idea. Someone also shared, it is true that, there is this type of peace is not something that the world would understand. Okay, so someone had talked about that. An idea of completeness. All right. Okay, wonderful. After all of these ideas, isn't it fascinating? Okay, so now you guys have these ideas, all right? You guys have these ideas. And wouldn't you say it is fascinating that the scripture that Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God, children of God. So somehow we are not just pure in heart, merciful, poor in spirit, right? All these different things that we just read earlier, right? Mourning, we are those who mourn, we are the meek. But remember, here it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Let me make this clear again, real quick, okay? So Frank and I have been repeating this. Jesus is not telling us how to become sons of God. Rather, Jesus is in a very simple way saying that the sons of God are peacemakers. Okay, so those who see God are those who are pure in heart, right? Those who are sons of God are the peacemakers. That's why you're blessed, right? You have the blessing wedged on each end of the sentence, and you have who you are. The character is that. So people who are peacemakers are the ones who are recognized, who are seen. They are reflecting the character of their heavenly Father, right? Unless you're the child of the Father, you don't reflect the attributes, the characteristic of the Father, right? And so if you want to become a son of God or a child of God, you need to become a peacemaker, right? In fact, there's other scriptures in John chapter 1, which would say, hey, to all who receive Jesus, you want to be a son of God or a child of God. You want to have the right to become the child of God. It's to those who receive Jesus, who believe in his name. That's how you are a child of God, right? You're a child of God because of your faith, is what it says in Galatians, right? So it's not saying you are a child of God because you're going to strive to be a peacemaker. No, it's saying because you are a son of God, because you're a child of God, you reflect the characteristic of your Father. He is the God of peace. Those are the verses we read earlier. He is the God of peace. Therefore, you reflect that. Okay? All right? Everyone understand? Nod your heads if you're with me. Yes? Nod your heads? Okay, good. All right. So someone clear my screen for me. And then, so I wanted to make that clarification. I love how some people mention wars and fighting and violence and all that. How many of you guys recognize this particular flag? How many of you
recognize Nations.
United Nations? Very good. I knew somebody would recognize that, and anybody who watches the news, right? The United Nations is an intergovernmental organization. Its goal, its one mission for existence, is to maintain international peace and security. All right? Its goal is to develop friendly relations among nations, right? Having a harmony. Someone used the word harmony right earlier. I love that. I think that was Elise, used the word harmony, right? The United Nations was created between as an agreement between countries, this organization to be the center for harmony among nations, okay? And it was established after World War II, because World War II was really bad. And its goal was to prevent future wars. I want to make a point here. Right? This group is, if its mission, if its goal is to do this, then they are failing. Okay? They are not 100% effective. I'm not saying that they're not doing a bad job. Okay. There's a lot of contribution of the United Nations in the world today. So anybody on our call who works for the United Nations, thank you for your service and thank you for being involved. If you donate to the United Nations, great. I don't think they're doing a bad job, but they are not fulfilling its mission. In fact, they were created after another organization prior to them, very similar to the same goal and aim of the United Nations, called the League of Nations. And the League of Nations was ineffective, obviously, because during the mission or the existence of the League of Nations, World War II broke out. Okay. And I love this quote from someone, right? He says, "I'll never forget reading a statistic. The question was, how many peace treaties have been broken? How many peace treaties have been made in the world and how many have been broken? The answer, all of them." Okay. So he says this phrase, "You see, peace is that glorious brief moment in history when everybody stops." Okay, so you stop war. There's no war for a moment, but everyone stops to do what? To reload, right? Right? So we're not going to fight for a moment, and we're going to reload our weapons. Right? You hear that sound? Right? Hey, truce real quick. Truce. Okay, no fighting for a moment. All right, good. Let's just pause. No fighting, no war. I'm going to stock up on my ammunitions. I'm going to create my nuclear warheads. We're just having a little peace for a little while to get ready for what? The next war, right? There's an article in the New York Times. This is in 2003, all right? So some of you were not even born at that time. But what every person should know about war, what is a war, a definition? War is defined as an active conflict that has claimed more than 1,000 lives. Has the world ever been at peace? Ooh, look at that. Of the past, this is a non-Christian, of course, 3,400 years, humans have been entirely at peace for 268 of them, only 8% of recorded history. And that is probably referring to those brief periods of times where, as the other quote, countries are just reloading. They're taking a break from the war so they could stock up on their war weapons, okay? And another statistic actually said for the years that are listed, there are small wars still going on. Even right now, you may not be aware of it, but there are wars going on in the world today. People are dying today in smaller wars. They're not world wars. They're not at that scale, but there are wars going on between nations, countries, factions right now. Okay. So over all of human history, there's always been war. There's always been war. And that funny quote is, even when you see that there's a temporary peace, it's really just a moment when everybody is reloading their weapons, okay? I thought that was interesting. So, but that's even just talking about world war, okay? I like those of you in your small groups who said, yeah, it's you know, when there's no wars, when there's no world wars, when there's no violence, when there's no fighting, then there's peace. But let me ask you a question. Why don't you go ahead and write it in here? Feel free to write your ideas here. Besides a lack of peace between countries, where else do we see or find a lack of peace? Right? Give some ideas. Where do you find a lack of peace? Where else, if we see fighting between countries, where else do we see fighting? Okay, on the road. Yes, there's a lack of peace on the road. Yes, thank you. Whoever wrote that, that's good. Okay, you see a lack of peace on the road. Road rage. Wow. Who's a contributor of road rage, right? Being mad on the road. I think I used to have a lot more road rage, but now I think I'm either maturing or I'm growing old, because when I see angry drivers on the freeway, it kind of scares me a little bit. I worry about that. Okay, good. Someone wrote a lack of peace between siblings. Ooh, that's a big one. Okay, whoever wrote that, yeah, between brothers and sisters. I know that some of you who are even older, you might have fighting still with your brother or sister, right? Your brother or sister, you know, they're not living near you, but you have an animosity, right? There's conflict, right? There's fighting, there's conflict. Okay, someone said racism. Good, racism, between races. Someone wrote where Satan is. Okay, so Satan is, right? Remember, Satan is not omnipresent. Okay, so anyone who always thinks Satan is the one attacking me, we clarified that before. It's probably demonic activity, right? So Satan's minions, the demonic forces. So anywhere demonic forces are, there's a lack of peace. Sure. Someone wrote home, work, and church. Okay, yeah, good. I mean, home covers siblings. What about conflict between parents and children? Ooh. I mean, I can't see everybody on the screen right now, but what about those of you at home who know that there is a conflict between parents and children? Even if you're older, some of you still have conflicts with your older, elderly parents. There's not a peace there. Okay, so we're Black Friday. Thank you. Thank you, whoever is breaking up the seriousness here a little bit this morning. Yeah, Black Friday. Black Friday is crazy. Would anybody like to take a guess how many times I've been participating in Black Friday sales? Anybody want to guess?
In person or online?
In person. Ever?
Zero.
Maybe two? Twice?
Twice?
Zero. Okay.
Zero.
Yeah, zero. That is, I've never.
Zero.
Right, that's right. I mean, I've done it online, you know, especially recently. You know,
you don't know where the fun is.
Oh, no. Whoever wrote this right here, the Black Friday, I don't know if you see my arrow, but yeah.
Black Friday.
You know, I've seen fights break out. I mean, it's crazy. That's not my idea of fun. People living in tents to camp out for a sale. But if you do, I don't hate you for that. Just let me know when you go and let me know where you're at. I might ask you to buy me something. I'm not opposed to it. I just don't want to be there. But yeah, you know, the person who wrote home, work, and church. Oof. Do you guys feel that there's conflicts and fighting at church? Yes or no?
Yes.
I mean, yes. Oof. That's I learned oof from my kids. Okay. So they say, you know, when something is like, oof, you know, they'll go, oof. So, that there's a lack of peace sometimes between people at church, home. I mean, work is obvious. I mean, we all can know that, but home, what about when a husband and wife, have that type of, I'm going to say the word silent war. Oof, a silent war. You know, it's, I always share this in biblical counseling. When God's word says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Oh, that one is hard. That one is hard. When you are a husband and wife and you are sleeping in the same bed and there is a silent carryover, there's a conflict that occurred earlier that day and you cannot talk with one another. Oh man, even as Christians, come on. The Lord puts that into his word, into the word of God, because this happens amongst Christians. God knows that. So God will say, and I use this for marriages, please, husbands and wives, do not let the sun go down on your anger, meaning do not let the day close out before you go to sleep. I've shared many times, it's been hard for me when Bex and I have been in conflict. We are back to back on the bed, right? But this can apply to any brother or sister, brother and sister in Christ, any family member, any friend. And Bex's back is to me. My back is to her. She used to not like me sleeping with my back to her. But, you know, sometimes I'm like, I like sleeping on my side. It's not a form of disrespect. But when there's conflict and the Holy Spirit's putting in my heart, tap her on the shoulder and resolve the conflict, resolve that conflict. Talk about that. Ask for forgiveness. Do not go to sleep angry. That's part of my marriage counseling that I give to people. That's hard, brothers and sisters. How do you do that? Because there's a lack of peace at that moment, right? How about even protests? Yeah, you know, you guys, you know, talk about race. Even peaceful protests. There's conflict there, right? It's not to say that protests are wrong, but what about opinions? Yeah, I like this. At stores where they don't wear masks. Oh, man, now you guys are getting really personal. Whoever wrote this here, you know, I'm going to annotate this. I think it's funny. All right. I mean, come on. People who don't wear masks. Okay. This is, siblings. Okay. I like these ones right here. Okay. Home, Black Friday. These are funny. But I mean, at stores where people don't wear masks. Okay. Now you're getting into the topic of COVID. All right. The opinions regarding COVID. Let's just stop there for a moment, okay? Whew. Even in families and even within the church, have you ever had almost toxic conversations? Toxic to the point where that topic of COVID is now making negative feelings against someone? Yeah. Or video games, the presidential elections, talking politics. I mean, strife between a husband and wife, strife between parents and children, strife between siblings, where you would hope, of all places in the world, I mean, let's not talk about countries right now. Let's just talk about people. Should there be some type of peace between a Christian husband and wife or within the family? But because of the differences of opinion on COVID or on politics, I've talked with so many husbands and wives who have said, oh, dude, we don't even talk about that. We can't. That's a silent conflict. We cannot go there. We cannot talk about it. Someone said to me, peacefully. Ooh, that hits home. That's hard. So if we're talking about living in a world where everyone is looking for peace from countries to families to opinions, how then in the world are children of God supposed to reflect the characteristic of God so that Jesus would say, you are a peacemaker. You are a peacemaker. Ooh, gosh, you are a video gamer. You love to play video games. You enjoy that. I'm not going to knock on that this morning. But someone talked about keyboard warriors, people who behind a keyboard can go off, right? Who can go off. But when they're face-to-face, they're like super, super, you know, you can't tell, right? Oh, man. All right. So let's see this now. Let's see where God's word leads us, okay? If even the greatest minds and organizations like the United Nations are dedicated to bringing peace, right? And they can't make peace, how are the children of God supposed to be peacemakers? All right? I mean, this is my thinking. Come on, think about it. People are paid, okay? Like their job is to bring peace and they can't do it. How are children of God supposed to be peacemakers? Someone talked about the original words earlier, so I think it's fair that we look at that. Let's define peace. Peacemakers. Okay, so we got to know what peace is before we try to make it, right? Shalom in Hebrew, in the simplest words, harmony, wholeness. One man uses the word Shalom in the Old Testament is God's greatest good for you. God's greatest good. Wow. God's greatest good. There's an active wholeness. There's a harmony there. This is interesting. In the Greek, the word that is specifically word here by used by Jesus is irene, from Iro. And this word is join together or bind together that which has been what separated. Yeah, so take notes on that. These are good words to make note of. Harmony, wholeness, God's greatest good for you. Irene is joining together or binding together what's been bound together, which has been once separated. That's the picture of that husband and wife that, you know, hey, I'm going to reveal my cards a little bit. When Bex and I have had some conflict, we don't have a lot of conflict, but we have our moments of conflict. And there have been times in our marriage when I have, I always remember the times when I've done it, you know, but because that's normal. But, you know, I had to initiate that conversation in bed to say, honey, we need to talk. I don't want us to go to sleep in anger against one another. Even though she was already snoring away, you know, she's fine, you know, but I'm like, hey, honey, I'm so angry. I need to resolve this with you. What? I'm fine. I went to sleep already.
You didn't snore.
No, she doesn't. Actually, I do. You know, she says that I fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow, and she kind of gets mad at that. And sometimes she may want to wake me up and say, "Hey, we need to talk about that issue." But I'm like, right. And so it's but we need to bind together. Binding together is an interesting picture. Joining together what has been separated. Okay, it's been separated, but now we got to bring that back together. That's peace, harmony, wholeness. There's a picture that's almost active there, right? There's a positive thing going on. And then the word maker is this word poieo in the Greek. It's to do, to carry out, to bring about, to make. But I want to tell you that wherever you see this word poieo in the Greek, it's an energetic word. It requires action. Okay, it's an action word. So you don't have poieo and there's no action. It made me think of mercy when we were doing the Sunday school of mercy, that you cannot say that there's mercy without action. If you just feel merciful inside, that might be compassion, but you cannot say that you are a person of mercy unless it is in action, right? That was a wonderful study. Mercy must be in action. It's not, let's see mercy in action. Mercy, by definition of self, it itself includes action. Peacemaking, a peacemaker must be in action. Okay, so there's a positive concept there. Okay, you guys with me? You guys, yes, nod your heads if you're tracking with that. Okay, not everyone's going to track with that.
Pastor, but, I have a question.
Yes.
Because I just like have like, I guess this is where it like connected it to me. Because Jesus, you know, like he like flipped the tables and healed people on the sick. And like he knew that was going to cause like maybe not peace. Yes. So I guess that's where I'm trying to like combine.
This is so good.
is this so where good, like sister. His actions, like, is this the actions that we're talking about?
Right, like, right. You're like, whoa, hey, bro. Hey, bro, Jesus, right? My brother, right? My Lord, my Savior, Jesus. Woo. All right, Becca just hit on something big. Big, big, big. Thank you. You are tracking right along with... This is why I had to wrestle with this so long in the last week and a half, this concept of peace. And then I talked about it with Bex as well. So Becca, you are bringing up a beautiful process we have to go through. That's why I put this discussion question. Can you see it? Is peace merely the absence of conflict? All right. In fact, is there sometimes conflict that may need to occur to bring about peace. I mean, Jesus was a table flipper. Okay, let's put it that way, right? He was a table flipper. Jesus had some righteous anger at that moment. He flipped the tables, all right? Frank and I talked about an example a couple of days ago. We were talking about this concept of peace. When you think about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, yes, Jesus started his conversation to bring her living water, yes, but he also had to bring some conflict in when she was like, he was like, go call your husband. And she's like, I ain't got no husband. And he goes, oh, let me call you out. Let me bring some conflict here. No, you have five husbands, woman. Oh, whoa, wait a second. I thought Jesus was supposed to be a peacemaker. I mean, but he had to bring something up. She later said, this dude is the one who called me out of all of my past, right? There's some table flipping going on there. Is peace merely the absence of conflict? Is it the absence of contention? Is it the absence of fighting? That's why I wanted to guide you guys through the thinking, because normally we would think all the things you guys wrote is harmony. There's no fighting. There's no conflict. There's no contention. That's peace. But that's why I also wanted to bring you through a family or live instances from your experience. Is there true peace when two people merely stop arguing or talking or fighting? Because when Russia and the United States were not in the time of actual fighting, we called a period of time the what? Scott, help me.
Cold War.
It didn't mean that there was, just because fighting, there was peace. When a husband and wife, oh man, I'm going to get personal here. Not for me personal, but because I counsel so many marriages and relationships. There are husband and wife relationships where there is no more arguing, where there is no more talking. There's no fighting. But is there true peace in that relationship? Right? Ooh, this is starting to get kind of crazy, right? Some people think that peace is the absence of conflict. The absence of strife. When you have two people that are not talking anymore, is that peace now? I would actually, not necessarily. Peace is not just stopping the war. Okay. Peace is not just stopping or having no fighting. Right. In fact, when you look at the word shalom in Irene, there is a positive activity to bring wholeness and God's greatest good for you. I'm trying to bring in God's greatest gift, good for you. I'm trying to join together something that has been separated. I'll tell you right now, in many of the marriage counseling sessions that I've had, right? I'm not even talking about premarital. I'm talking about people who are already married. I've had couples that have been breaking down in tears. I always have to go grab the tissue box. I've had couples say to me, I can't do this anymore. Even though they came to me because they recognize that God has given them a shepherd, a pastor who sees something and is praying over them. And they're like, no, I don't want this. I don't want this. They've told me, I can't do this. But I'm like, we actually have to get through some more fighting. We have to get through some more pain, because we are peeling back the layers of the onion. It's going to get more tearful before it gets better. And they're like, I can't do this no more. I don't want to meet with you, Pastor. And I can't force that. I can't force couples to meet with me. I never do that. Even though I know it's good. They're like, no, can't do it. Too many layers. I had one session, two sessions with you, time out. It's too much. And I tell them it's going to get a little worse before it gets better. You're going to have a little bit more conflict because we've got to bring these out before it gets better. Nope, done. I'd rather just stop talking with my spouse. Okay. You know, so it's a misunderstanding to think that peace is just stopping the argument, peace is more. Peace is creating the harmony, the wholeness, God's greatest good. But anybody who's tried to bring together two people who are in conflict, how many of you ever tried that? It is hard, right? How many of you tried to bring two people together? It is hard. It is hard. It is hard. I've talked to children who've shared with me about their parents' marriages, and they've cried with me. They've cried with me because they've tried to bring their fighting parents together, and parents never know the wounds. I mean, parents might even know, but how deeply hurting it is for the children to see parents fighting. And they try to hold mom's hand and dad's hand and try to join them together. It's hard, right? But you know what? I love this quote. Someone says, peace is not just stopping the war. Peace is creating the righteousness that brings the two parties together in love. In love. Right? So peace is not just, okay, now we're not fighting. We're not talking. Hey, you know what? Let's just not talk with each other. Let's go into the Cold War, right? You don't even know you're in a Cold War. It's just like, you know what? We're not going to talk about these things. Peace is actually, there's a righteousness in that relationship that actually brings the two, you know, I heard another definition where they said peace is actually where those two that were separated are now embracing one another in love. I love to hug my wife. You know, I won't ever hug any of you the way I hug my wife. That's a good thing, right? But I remember there are times when I'm hugging my wife and, you know, we can feel each other, you know, or at least I can feel her heartbeat. She can't feel my heartbeat beat because I have too many layers of fat, right? But I could feel her heartbeat. Oh, that's embracing. That's saying there is love. I want to feel for your heartbeat. Whatever we've gone through, whatever conflict we had, we can embrace one another and say there's a righteous forgiveness here that occurs. So, boy, let me just cover a few things. So, number one, children of God are peacemakers. Now, let me not discourage you. You may not be a very effective peacemaker, right? Let me not discourage you because you might be struggling in resembling the Father, a characteristic of peace. But children of God are peacemakers. Blessed are the children of God who are peacemakers. Why? Because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, and again, not to discourage you, we don't all bear that fruit all out together at once. We're not always a fully blossoming tree, but the Spirit will produce the fruit of peace. It's not a man-manufactured peace. You can't manufacture. That's what Frank and I have been going at. These beatitudes have to be manufactured by the fruit of the Spirit, by the Spirit. Number two, peace is more than an absence of fighting. Okay, so the next time you try to define peace, you cannot say it's just when there's no fighting, because couples will have times when there's no talking. That doesn't mean that there's peace. Peace is the rightness. Peace is the rightness. That righteousness, right? I use the word rightness, that brings two parties together in love, right? And so...
Hey, so, Pastor...
yes, please.
Sorry to cut you off. As you're saying that, I'm just trying to go back to your question of what is the opposite of peace? I think that helped me to define this even better. Can you say, based on what you have been getting us to understand. Can you say the opposite of peace is being separated from God and from people, from nations to nations? So therefore, peace really is not being separated. And we are the sons of God because we are not separated. Number one, therefore we can be the maker of not being, maker of no separation.
The makers of no separation.
We are trying to help the makers of no separation, since the definition of, you know, of peace in Greek is not being separated. Rather, you know.
So yes. Yeah. I would say, I want to go there. You know, you're stealing my thunder, but yes. Right. No, that's okay. It's cool. Cause we're running out of time. I want to combine a couple ideas. All right. So, because even going back to Becca's idea too, right. And so hold that thought, Frank and Becca, excuse me. So if we've ever tried to make peace or bring together a relationship that was broken, what was that like? It's hard. Okay. Bringing together relationships is hard, if not nearly impossible. And Jesus wanted to make that clear even through his own actions. The principle that the fact of why Jesus even flipped tables and created tension, Jesus didn't not create conflict. When you call out sin, like, you create conflict. When you say who you are, you create conflict. When you try to be a person of God, just by that mere fact, when you are a Christian spouse and you're trying to even bring peace, there's going to be conflict. Let me just get that clear. In all of my marriage counseling or relationship counseling with people and spouses and relatives and all that, in order to resolve issues, there's always conflict. Okay, so it's not just an absence of conflict. True biblical peace does not just ignore the issue. Okay, this is going back to Becca's thing. This is what I had to think about a lot. All right, so I wrote this out because I just had to organize my mind. True, everywhere I look in the Bible, peace does not just ignore an issue and tell two parties to stop fighting. But true biblical, I use that word, biblical peace addresses and resolves the hard issue so that goodness and rightness can bring them together in love. Okay, so that, yes, now tying in Frank, so that peace happens when separation is brought together. Okay, but dealing and resolving the hard issue is almost, in many cases, virtually impossible. Okay, so where I wanted to go was to say, how do you think Christians can be peacemakers? What Frank just used the word, separation joiners, right? How can blessed are the separateness joined togetherers? Right? Because you all struggle in relationships today. Okay. Go ahead and raise your hand if you have no relationship struggle. Okay. I want to see that person because you are, okay. I'm going to open up my, I should open it up and, you know, just see, I'm not going to do that because tell me if anyone rose their hand, put it in the chat box. Because that is a picture of denial right there. Okay. I just want so we could see what denial looks like, that person. Okay. Everyone has broken relationships they're in to one extent or another, minor or major. So if we even have that, how can we help people resolve? How can you know, it's almost like I was thinking, Jesus, how can you call me a peacemaker? How can you call me a peacemaker? How do I begin resolving and joining together impossible relationships that almost are like, you know, magnets that when you have that wrong side together, like you can't bring it together. So if you get a really powerful magnet and you put it like that wrong side together, it's going to repel. How can I be a relationship joiner? And how do I begin even tackling those hard issues? Because I can think of, you know, just numbers of, you know, there's a husband and wife where their children has talked to me over the years that the parents share this cold war, that the only way that they think that there's a type of peace in their household is when the mom and dad don't talk with one another. But there's not peace because they're not actually talking about the hard issue, the probably one main issue that needs to be resolved. Usually it's like one main issue that leads to a lot of other symptomatic issues. So how do you do that? How do you do that? I'm just going to end right here. All right. Because there's this one quote by J.I. Packer that at the end of the day, I can be okay in my heart of how Jesus has called me to be a peacemaker. And Frank alluded to it. I love this quote, J.I. Packer. The peace of God. Okay, everybody wants the peace of God. Everybody wants the peace of God. But he says the peace of God is first and foremost peace with God. Okay? Everyone wants to have this peace of God. Everyone wants shalom. And I'll tell you that this word shalom that Frank has introduced to everybody over and over as a greeting, originally, like any tradition or habit, it probably had a very true sentiment. It's wishing someone the God's greatest good. Like when I'm saying shalom to you, I'm saying to you, may God's harmony, may God's wholeness, may God's greatest good be upon you, my friend. Shalom. And over the years, I bet now Jewish people say it and they don't even, it's just like saying, hey, what's up, dude? You know, hey, what's up, bro? You know, shalom. When Frank brings up that Hebrew phrase every Sunday and it says, how is your shalom? How is my shalom? Had an issue with that. I never told him that, right? But I told him that this week. I'm like, I don't like that because it's very deceiving. How is your shalom? You don't have shalom. You cannot make your own peace. And he goes, oh yeah, you know, that's why I do it. It's not your own peace. It's asking how are you dwelling in God's peace? All right. So as a clarifier, and I go, oh, that's deep, right? Because you know, you can't ask someone, how is your peace? You don't have peace. You can't even create peace. You can't make that peace. You want that peace of God. But first and foremost, in order to have the peace of God, you need to have peace with God. J.I. Packer actually says it is a state of affairs. Okay, it's the state in which God, instead of being against you, is now for you. Okay, this peace that you have with God comes because Jesus went through all of the conflict. Do you think the cross was like some easy thing? You think that the cross was some easy way to peace? Jesus had to fight for peace. Do you realize that? Remember that Jesus fought for your peace. He had to fight tooth and nail. You think it was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna, like, you know why he hung on that cross and was willing to let nails go through his through his arms and through his feet, and let his side be pierced and be tortured, and his skin ripped off of his back, and that thorns being pressed upon his head. You think he wasn't fighting for peace at that moment? You don't think he wasn't fighting to hold back, calling legions of angels down to just decimate the entire universe and just say, I'm done with you all. Forget this. He was fighting. He was fighting for peace, to bring peace. That's the only way that we can be peaceful. That the source of peace that we're trying to bring as peacemakers is not even that we could really make it, because God is the only peace, true peacemaker. But all of the people that you want to have peace, they need to have peace with God first before you can, they can have peace with others. Isn't that true? I always pray that for people. When I counsel people, when I counsel husband, when I counsel children and their parents and youth, and even anxiety is a lack of peace, isn't it? People desire so much the peace of God in their heart, but I always tell them it begins with your peace with God first. Like, do you have peace with God? Do you have that relationship with God? Do you remember the gospel truth? Because until you have that peace with God, you're not going to remember, unless you can present your request to God. That's remembering who God is and that he's willing to carry your burdens because of Christ. Not until you get that do you get the peace of God, right?
Hey, back to Alex.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, do you think we can go back to your slide with the Shalom and Irene?
Do I think I can? Technically, yeah, I think I can.
I know we're almost running out of time.
Oh, no, we're out of time.
I was looking at this as, kind of you were going over what peace is. And it really kind of stood out to me, just even like the Old Testament really uses Shalom a lot. Here we're talking about like the harmony, but also like the wholeness. Like, I think for me personally, I was looking at the way you kind of like format it, it's like we ourselves, in a way that you express it, we have to be whole, at peace with God, right? And to experience that before we can even get to the joining and binding of bringing peace. And I think when we talk about like, later, your next slide talks about the whole like rightness and the righteousness, even that, like what righteousness and rightness are we talking about? Because often
yes.
still our own worldly method, if we forget yes. that our peace comes yes. from Jesus himself.
That's right.
And we get the whole temporary, reloading season of life. Mm-hmm. Relationship before it explodes again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I like your magnet example, because if you think about it, yeah, when you have the same, you have conflict, but when Jesus flips you upside down, even though yes. the outside looks the same, you can attract
yes. them. It's only Jesus who can flip the magnets around. Isn't that true? Only Jesus can flip the magnets around. Yeah, look at that quote. Peace is not just stopping the war. Peace is creating the righteousness that brings the two parties together in love. That came to us through Christ. Right? And Jesus had to fight for that. I mean, he was the one who had to resolve the heart issue. Right? So this quote is cool. J.I. Packer is just, I love the guy. His books have just been very impressive upon me. But he says this at the end, right? He says, no account of God's peace, which does not start here, okay, with the peace of God, can do other than mislead. What that means, to say in other words, is every other peace that the world talks about, even Christians, if you don't get peace with God right first and foremost, every other peace is a misleading peace. It's not true. It's not true. You got to get right with God. You got to get right with God. The Lord's put on my heart again the importance of the people of the church. We need to repent. We got to get right with God. We got to get alone with God and say, God, where am I off? Where am I not right? Lord, would you heal me? Would you bring the wholeness? But before I talk about the other person being, this is also what I tell husbands and wives. You kind of always know when there's like one person who's a little bit more pursuing of the Lord, but it's usually, but you know, even when moms come to talk to me about that, you know, I mean, and I praise God to, you know, for God about that too. Cause she'll even say, okay, I'm not coming to you as mom. I'm just coming to you cause you're my pastor. Right. And I need some shepherding in my life. Okay. Amen. Right. So, okay. So that's it. We're going to stop here. That's, you know, it's loaded, you know, this whole thing about peace, you know, peace. I mean, think about it. You know, we talk about peace, you know, we started talking about peace of the world, and that's important, but it all comes down to even peace in our own lives, our relationships in the home, in the church. Oh man, if we start getting that right, I think that affects the world around us, and we're not going to have world peace, brothers and sisters. We are not. Don't ever put a bumper sticker on of world peace unless you say world peace is going to come when Jesus comes again. Because he's the bringer of that. And any of you who truly have Christ, we're going to live in that. That's your hope. You're going to be able to have peace with every relationship in Christ, because Jesus is going to eliminate and be doing away with all of wickedness. I mean, that's going to be some good times. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Do you guys hear me? That's going to be some good times there.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, let me pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you. I know I went over a little bit today, not just to hang out, but this is just so much. And Lord, I sat so long with you thinking of how to teach this. It is so hard. And I don't even know if I did it rightly, but I know, and I told you, I trust the way you work. And even with a broken lesson plan, it's you, the Spirit, that has to break through these lessons in people's hearts. And sometimes it might even be the youngest person in this class that understands, but that's not because of their mental ability. It's because the Spirit, because the youngest ones sometimes are the ones most willing to let the Spirit speak into our hearts and to our lives. I thank you that it's your Spirit that impresses the truth to be made real. Lord, we long for the taste of peace in our relationships. And you promise that we can have that, Lord, now. It may not be complete, but we can taste that peace that the world does not even understand. The world wants peace so bad, but they don't understand. And Lord, we should mourn for the world. We should mourn for people who do not have that comprehension. We want to mourn for those who do not know Christ, so that we would make you known to them, Lord. That's my prayer for this year, that the church would make known the name of Jesus to those who don't even comprehend peace, but they long for it so badly. They'll pay anything to have peace. But only you, Lord Jesus, can bring that peace. So we pray for that. We thank you for today's lesson. We thank you that you call us as children of God, peacemakers. Thank you for that privilege, and help us to live into that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.